This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
To be successful, you need to have a lot of ingredients. It's just not making money. When you are able to make it, remember, you need to return to the society, compassion and humility. Nowadays, a lot of youngsters are starting out a lot of businesses, and some of them would maybe look at driving a big car, making a lot of money as their goal. But when you get there, remember the things that make you a whole person, a person that has everything, success and also the very intrinsic values.
Humility, integrity, and compassion. These are just some of the few ingredients that helped make Mega Fortress the success story that it is today. How did a pair of brothers with almost zero funds create what is today one of the leading suppliers of high-quality tamper-evident security seals around the world? Well, you're in luck, because we're about to tell you how. Good morning there. My name is Audrey Raj. Thank you for joining us on Enterprise. On the show today, we are shining the spotlight on Malaysian-made Mega Fortress Group. They are one of the leading suppliers of high-quality, tamper-proof, innovative security seals to a wide range of industries across the globe and are hoping to be the number one in their industry segment in the next 3 years. To tell us their story and plans for world domination are Adrian and Olivia from the Mega Fortress. That is Mega Fortress.
Hi, my name is Adrian Ng. I'm the Group CEO of Mega Fortress Malaysia Sdn Bhd. And what I do is I actually look after the whole operations of the group, ranging from sweeping the floor right down to selling.
My name is Olivia Lee, and I'm the Director of Business Development, and I'm in charge of all the casinos in the whole world, plus the shipping lines, yes.
When you say you're in charge of all the casinos in the whole world, that sounds like the best job ever.
Exactly. I love my job, and the passion is there. I'm very passionate. And wherever there is a new casino opening anywhere in the world, it takes me there. I would love to go there.
Nice. All the perks of the job.
So okay. Much better than mine. I've got a boring and a non-glamour job, right?
Okay, just to get started, Adrian, just so everyone is on the same page, I understand that you and your brother together founded Mega Fortress. Can you tell us a little bit about your background before this started and how the whole idea came about?
Right. By doing that, you need to rewind back 22 years. 22 years is when we started the company. Prior to us starting the company, I was actually working for a seal company, and I was there for 3 years. When I left the company, I had a lot of customers that sort of, hey, why don't you come back and, supply some products to us? That's how we started. And with that, we actually started the business with my brother back in 1996, from literally ground level. Mm-hmm. We had nothing. It was a tough journey, but the journey has been rewarding. For the last 22 years, we have grown by leaps and bounds. We have established offices or partnerships in 19 countries, where we have created a lot of entrepreneurs out of Malaysia. Mm-hmm. And the company has grown from zero base to in the excess of $45 million turnover. So it's a very nice, what we call achievement on its own.
Right. And when you started, was it just you and your brother? And how much did the both of you put together in order to kickstart this venture?
Oh, we literally didn't have any money at all. Mm. We actually owe people a substantial amount of money when we first started, because we were doing some other businesses that wasn't really very profitable. But having said that, we started with one ambition. The ambition was to grow the business and also to put food on, literally put food on the table. Mm. So it was a very humble beginning. And that's the reason why when we moved along the way, most of the things that we do actually has got a very humble start. Mm. You know, it has got a lot of compassion and a lot of art integrity. So with that, you know, the business actually flourished over the years because of the way we operate. You know, we are a very multi-national company. We have various, ethnicity. We have various culture and also multilingual. Mm. Can you imagine operating on a 24-hour time zone?
Wow.
It wasn't easy. But I'm glad to say that we have built a very strong Malaysian brand.
So what is your employee numbers like right now?
We at the moment, the group has about 700 people.
Wow.
700 people, literally in 19 countries, we have about 700 people. Most of them are majority production workers, but we have quite a fair bit of what we call sales and marketing people. Mm. And they are in various parts of the world. You throw a dart, most probably you hit one of our offices.
All right. And I understand that initially you wanted to just market security seals, but then you realized that there was a market for producing and designing specialized seals. Tell us a bit about this.
Yeah. When we first started, basically the industry, you know, a seal is it's not a you and me business. But it's a business that has been in existence for many years. You're talking about close to a quarter of a century, 250 years. You know, the company, you know, I think the first company that started in the world is about 250 years old now. So can you imagine the product itself? It's very simple. It's just a locking body and a female and a male locking part. You snap them together and that's it. It's one-way locking. Basically, there's nothing rocket science about that.
But you said, like, you know, this has been around for 250 years. Your company is just 20 years old, and yet you are aiming to be the world's number one in a couple of years.
Yes. Yeah. That's
so
the
how
ambition.
Did you get into this market and do it so well?
Oh, what happened is, like I said, you know, we did a lot of things with a lot of compassion and humility and integrity. With that, we built up a very strong foundation of our network. Definitely, we need to have a good product. So the company itself is known for its innovation. So we innovate before the market needs it. Mm. So we have very strong market intelligence to innovate the products. We are very, we call it our brick and mortar business, which is manufacturing the seals, which is a bread and butter of the business. Mm. We are currently pretty strong in this, very high in the sort of in the world. But for us to get to number one, we are infusing technology into the system. Mm. So if we look at a physical product on its own, has got its value of securing a product only. But what we are doing in the near-term future is we're going to be infusing technology into the seals where if you're a business owner, you will have a total visibility of your supply chain, meaning you'll be able to see everything from beginning to the end. Mm. So it is a solution that we'll be rolling out very soon and a solution that's infusing technology, selling, upselling to our customers. So literally, I would say in a very simple term, is we are actually assembling all the required blocks to make one solution.
All right. So rewind just a little bit, you know, to like the pain point that made you realize that, hey, you know, instead of just marketing and distributing security seals, we could be making our own. What was that pain point? And when was that light bulb moment?
Oh, when we first started, we started from ground level. We literally didn't have any capital, neither do we have any machineries. Mm. So by natural, we represented a company, so we did trading. The trading lasted for about 3 to 6 months. That was the painful block because the product that was given wasn't up to certain standard, and also you can't be able to fulfill customers' needs. And when the manufacturer started to undercut you by going direct to your customers, that was in actual fact the kick for us to start our own manufacturing facilities. When we first started, we had to learn from zero. Mm. We didn't have We didn't have anything. So, but having said that, we have actually grown to where we are today because along the way, we have assembled, the right people for their job and also the right product for the market.
And judging from your website, I realize that quality is the philosophy of Mega Fortress, right? How do you ensure a consistent quality output?
We had to make sure that we buy right, we produce right, we make right, and we sell right. So with these three fundamentals in play, you ensure that the quality of the product is what we market or what we sell for. If the product is of certain requirement, it is made to that standard. So the quality has always been very consistent, and we ensure that the process to ensure that the production of the product itself is up to ISO standards, where we follow certain standards to ensure that whatever we produce is of the highest quality.
Right. Okay, Olivia, you've been slightly quiet here in the corner, but I've got a sales question for you now.
Okay.
You know, give me some numbers. How many transactions do you make, and what is your average sales amount, and how do you sustain that sales growth? Because you're the one that's putting the seals out there.
Yeah, I'm the marketing person, I suppose. Back home, we have to produce right, and then like what my boss, CEO, just mentioned, and I have to sell right. Yeah. So in terms of pricing, especially. So, my monthly contribution is a minimum 1 million ringgit. And overall for the year, I think the contribution, like in terms of revenue, is between 15 to 20%. But on the profit, is around 30%. So it's quite big. I think this is one of our best selling items, the casino products.
Right, so the gaming is the biggest chunk of the revenue.
Yes.
Not really.
Not revenue, but the profit.
Profit,
also.
Okay.
Yes. So revenue is around 15 to 20% overall, for the year. And this casino market is very exponential. What we have now, but we still see that there is a real great potential of the growth in this industry. We have all the market mostly. We are the major supplier for these casino products in the world. So we have mostly now in the country of Macau. We also sell mostly all to Philippines, and then we sell to Singapore, the two casinos. Then we have one in Malaysia. Mm-hmm. And in Vietnam is opening up now. We already have two casinos, so there are six more to come. And then for Japan, it's going to open where it's already legislated, and we are going to see like another 8 casino open. And we also go as far as Russia. We already have 1 casino. 3 more are coming up, and Korea, and maybe some other places like Laos, Cambodia, we have 1, and it's expanding. So I can see there is a real growth in this industry.
Yeah. Apart from the gaming sector, what is the next biggest sector? I mean, because you are involved in pharmaceuticals, F&B, oil and gas, banking, security companies, manufacturing. So what's right after the gaming sector?
What we have is, apart from the gaming sector, we actually supply to multiple industries. So if you look at it, any industry that requires security seals, we are most probably there already, because we have we supply to a variety of customers. There is no one sector of the industry that has got a big portion of our that we supply to, meaning they are very evenly spread out. So our risk of, say, for example, if there's a downturn in certain industry, we are a little bit of risk averse. Meaning, the effect to us is not tremendous. So it's a very unique business where, in good times, the product has to be used. In bad times, the product even
needs
to be used.
There's more demand there.
Yes, because you need to protect it more. But having said that, that is a business where you do it for protection of your assets. Mm. What we do is we are more concerned with also making sure that the supply chain of the product, of the food industry, is actually secure. Mm. So in a way, the seal ensures that the chain of supply for the products, food products, is actually secure, meaning there's no contamination, there is no tampering. Because imagine if there's any tampering or contamination from the source, the whole chain gets
affected.
Right. So we as a company not only sell things to process assets, but also protect the food chain security. So this is one of the areas that we are very strong in, that we also supply that. Our customer base is a very broad range of customer. You name it, we are there. So it is a very unique industry on its own.
When we come back, we talk about disruptors and how Mega Fortress is dealing with China. You know, everyone's biggest, baddest competitor. Adrian Ng and Olivia Lee from Mega Fortress will be right back after this quick break. BFM 89.9.
Brewing Financial Minds. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to Enterprise with me, Audrey Raj. In the studio with me today is Adrian Ng and Olivia Lee from Mega Fortress Group, one of the world's leading suppliers of high-quality tamper-proof security seals. Their seals are used all over the globe in various industries, from chemicals, oil and gas, food and beverages, pharmaceuticals, communications, ICT, hospitality, security companies, banks, manufacturing, and even casinos. And to service these industries, they have a distribution network that covers 5 continents and some 20 countries. So you don't have to worry about the economic climate, but do you have to worry about competitors? I mean, who else is in this playing space, and do you know what their numbers are like? How do you compete?
How do I compete? They're very good. Because definitely there are competitors. In all industries, there are competitors. But because the market space is big enough to accommodate most of us, you know, this is not a very huge industry, but it's an industry that is very, what we call, sustainable. Mm. So we do have competitors in most parts of the world. I would name there are maybe 3 or 4 major ones that we compete, but we compete on an international level. We in Malaysia, we don't supply, we are about maybe 50-60% market share. We don't supply all, but we don't really compete in Malaysian market. It's the international market that we compete in. Just for the information, is we in Malaysia, we do about maybe 4% of turnover. Mm. So 96% are exported. So when it's exported, it's international market that we actually compete
service
in.
Service, right, okay. Mm. China. You know, I mean, they're bigger, badder, cheaper. Mm. How do you compete there?
How do I compete there? I think with Olivia, I also would agree that, you know, in China, they do give us a little bit of, you know, I wouldn't call headache, but slight discomfort.
Mm. But they are copycat.
So
what we do is, in China, we've been operating in China for the last 17 years. Mm. But our China plant is in operation to supply our global supply, meaning we use them as a production facility to supply to our global customers. We don't see the competition as in very, you know, we don't play in that low end market. Reason why is not all customers would like to buy a cheap product. Mm. Because cheap things are no good. Good things are not cheap.
Especially when it concerns the security of your product,
yes.
Right? That's where you don't want to stinge.
Correct. Mm. So the repercussion from a problem could be more massive than the savings itself. Mm. An example, I will just maybe give you a good example. If you look at casino per se, we supply quite a fair bit to the industry in casino. It is very sensitive because they have to ensure the whole security chain is intact. Because the seal is one of a complementary item towards the whole security protocol or SOP of a casino. We ensure integrity on that level. Can you imagine if the integrity is broken? Mm. The amount of problems could be massive, and it's not worth that savings. That's the reason why in the industry, in the casino standard, in the casino, we have actually been made as an industry standard. Mm. We are most probably one of the major supplier when it comes to security requirement for SEALs. Yes. They will come to us first. So this is how we have established ourselves in that particular industry. In other industries, we compete on a level playing field. Mm. Yeah, so we supply to major customers. We also supply to very small customers. But I would say that one of the memorable business that we have done in Malaysia is the last GE election, we are the suppliers. For the election seal.
We secure
the ballot boxes. And we've been supplying ballot seals seals for ballot boxes in many parts of the world. We've been supplying that for many years already.
All right. Well, congratulations on that. Mm. And how did the Election Commission find you? And how do your customers find you?
Most of them, we could say that it's the track record or the referral. Mm. You know, we've been referred many times. It's because of this industry is a very small industry, and the users are not you. It's not a you and me. Anyway, the small companies can't use it. You have to have a certain size before you can use this product. Mm. So our referral normally would be from referrals and from the branding or the marketing that we've been doing. Mm. And if you Google or if you search the net, there will be many suppliers. We are among the top few that has been supplying various industries throughout the world. Mm. You imagine our product is used practically every day all over the world. And a product that is consumable. You know, you use once, you can't reuse it back. So we have, I could be speaking now. I might have products in Macau is being used, in the US is being used, and all over the world, the products are being used every single minute.
Sounds like the ultimate Malaysian success story.
Yes.
So with products used all over the world, like you just mentioned, I bet you must pay a lot of attention to R&D. How much emphasis goes into this?
Oh, yeah, it is one very important segment of the whole innovation
process
that we have. So we spend quite a fair bit of what we call time and also capital on this particular segment or particular thing. It is important because what we do is we have a lot of market intelligence that we collect market information every day, and from those market information, those are translated to R&D, and it is important that when we look at something, it's not that we design something that we think is good.
Mm.
The design is something that is going to be used by the industry. You know, it can be any industry in the world. So it is important. R&D has been one very important segment that the company emphasize on.
Okay, moving on. Let's talk about some challenges. Now, I imagine designing and making seals that meet security levels of every kind would be a major challenge. And you know what it's like when you make something that seems unhackable or unbreakable, completely tamper-proof, and then someone finds a way to tamper with it. So talk to me about some of the challenges in making and designing these seals.
Okay, first of all, when we design or when we make a seal, we look at the functionality of it. When we look at functionality, we look at the processes of the business that requires that product itself. So it's not basically design a product to fit the industry. We will look at the whole process, the whole workflow of how the seal is used. So with that, it has to be thought of. It has to be designed in a way that it has to be environment friendly, it's got to be user friendly, it's got to be secure, it's got to look aesthetically beautiful, and all these things that has to come in play. So when we design that, we ensure that we don't design something that we think is good, but the market, when they use it, they know it's good. Mm. So it's not like, a lot of people will say that, I've got some brilliant idea and the idea is so fantastic, but you can't sell. Mm. So our product is actually commercialized for the industry to use. Definitely it's not easy, it sounds easy, But most of the important elements of it comes from the market intelligence, such as when Olivia goes to do a sale, she brings back information that is important. If we can't use those information now, we will keep it in on file and we will use it when the requirement comes. Or anywhere in the world that, you know, my Europe office or my US office were to do any market intelligence, they will feedback to us. And if we think that this is something that we can do, I'll immediately do it. We will definitely embark on it. Mm-hmm. And that's where, you know, as a company, we are known to be very innovative. Innovation is one fundamental thing that helps us to grow and also sustain our business till now. Like you mentioned just now, competition. You know, in order to compete, you need to be different.
Yeah.
So we are very different because as a Malaysian homebred brand, when we first started, you know, to have a Malaysian brand, it's quite difficult 20 years back. But that brand itself is it's very well known now. If you go to the industry, anybody that uses Sears will have known of us. And we are very proud to say that, you know, this is a Malaysian brand. And a Malaysian brand that has grown out of Malaysia.
Have you ever had any issues with funding, issues with money or with cash flow?
Oh, definitely. In the beginning, when we didn't have anything, we had to, in a way, I wouldn't say resort, we had to look at alternative funding, high interest borrowings. Mm. But by using a high interest borrowing, it strives us to work harder. Because, you know, you don't pay commercial bank rates, you pay higher rates. Mm. And, you know, with that, you need to be very, you need to look at the finances differently. So we were very, when we had to borrow the money, we ensured that the money has to be returned so that, you know, when you borrow, you need to return it. After that, when we grew the business, the banks came knocking on the door already. Mm. You know, the banks are very, very unique in a way. When you need them, they are most probably not there.
But not interested, but...
But they will come. But it is good because I think this is the cycle of how most businesses have grown. Mm. But I'm saying that the banks has been a very important element in our growth as well. Because without them, we wouldn't even have grown to where we are today. Mm. So banks has been part of our business partner. We have, you know, a lot of banks working, you know, knocking for us, but we have been always very faithful to banks. I think in a history of 20 years, I would say that we only have two banks.
Loyalty there.
Yeah. We have our customers as well. Our customers are very loyal to us, and the loyalty has actually started since day one we started business.
We're about to take a quick break for some messages, but when we come back, how did Mega Fortress deal with their first return? Adrian Ng and Olivia Lee from Mega Fortress will be right back after this quick break. Enterprise BFM 89.9.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for staying with us on Enterprise. My name is Audrey Raj, and with me in the studio today, Adrian Ng and Olivia Lee from Mega Fortress Group. They are one of the leading suppliers of high-quality, tamper-proof, innovative security seals to a wide range of industries across the globe and are hoping to be the number one in the world in the next 3 years. I was reading online something about sometime, just maybe a year ago or so, that you had a client return your goods. It was a first for Mega Fortress, right?
Yep.
What happened there?
Okay, that we were saying that was when the goods was returned. It was when we first started.
When we first started,
you know, we had a big order in Europe, so we manufactured across over the Chinese New Year period, and to fulfill the delivery. When the delivery arrived the customer's place, you know, that time, you know, we are not really what we call perfect in all our SOPs of production. We had some reject issues. But we had to ensure, because of the level of integrity and promise that we have given our customer. When the problem came, we immediately looked at that and we did what we call a rectification, and we resupplied a new batch to them.
Mm.
And from there onwards, you know, touch wood, over the many years that we have been doing business. Okay, production facilities, there's no 100% zero defect.
Mm.
But it is so minimal that, you know, it's negligible. Yeah. So we learned from that incident that rejection is expensive. We actually didn't make money, but we lost money. But that became a very, you know, every part of the life of the business has always been a learning curve.
Yeah, and some major lessons in your life can be expensive, but really, really good ones.
Yes,
right?
Yeah. I think if it's not expensive, you might not be able to, you know, to learn from it. When you do that, you know, learning is one process, but you must also practice. You must ensure that you learn from it, you know, to put it in structure, in place.
All right, expansion. You are already in 19 countries, over 5 continents. What's next? What is the next big sector that you're looking to get into? What is the future of Mega Fortress?
I think it would be the technology, RFID seal. Now we actually have the infrastructure and the platform, and this is the beginning of this era. I think in future, this will be another best-selling item for us on the RFID technology products. Yes.
So just add on to what Olivia said, for the future, or what we're going to be doing is, we are going through a rationalization program for the group, because we acknowledge the fact that the industry in the next 3 to 5 years will consolidate. When the industry consolidate, either you get consolidated or you become the consolidator. So we are hoping to lead in that consolidation. So we have got a series of what we call a rationalization plan being put in place. First of all, we look at the brick and mortar business, which is the current business that we do. We will be setting up certain a bit more facilities to ensure that the business is sustainable, and also to strengthen our supply by having satellite operations in strategic locations around the world.
Mm-hmm.
At the moment, we only have 2, Malaysia and China. So if you imagine logistic can be a nightmare. So we are hoping to eradicate it by, you know, to enhance this by ensuring, you know, we have strategic locations in various parts of the world that we can be able to tap on to have what we call a very JIT delivery.
Mm-hmm.
So that will be the rationalization plan where we sustain the current business. But while this is going on, simultaneously, we are looking at also infusing technology into the product by making sure that, you know, like RFID technology, the platform, the telematics platform that we are now designing, that when you roll into the market, the current customers have the option now to be able to have business intelligence at their fingertips, meaning we can aggregate data for them for their use, you know, data collection, analytics for them. And this will be the way forward. It's a combination between the technology and also the physical security that would be the way forward in terms of the business opportunity that we are looking at. Infusion of technology is very important because the world is changing. Disruption is happening everywhere.
Yeah.
This is to ensure that we have to be on top of it. We don't want to be left behind. When we go through the rationalization plan, when we hopefully, maybe in 3 years' time, I might have the privilege to come back to say hello to you, to show to you that we have actually achieved our roadmap to be number one.
Number one, yeah. All right. Well, fingers crossed. And just before we go, any advice for entrepreneurs out there who were like the young Adrian and Nick who started Mega Fortress back in the 90s, you know, what should they be looking out for? How do they take that first step towards building an empire like you did?
I would suggest, and I would inform, tell them that everyone is successful in their own rights. Everyone has got an opportunity. So it's how you seize that opportunity to make something in life, or to make anything. It could be marriage, it could be work, it could be business, it could be anything. What I would say that is, if you have the opportunity, make sure that you put in the hard work And when you succeed, you must always remember to be humble. Humility is very important. When you have humility, you have compassion. So when you have compassion, you can return to the society or any other things. But remember one thing, success is relative. So we need to ensure to be successful, you need to have a lot of ingredients. It's just not making money. Mm-hmm. Making money or making the profits are not the main ingredients of being successful. When you are able to make it, remember, you need to return to the society, compassion and humility. That is what I would suggest to them, because nowadays a lot of youngsters are starting out a lot of businesses, and some of them would maybe look at, driving a big car, making a lot of money as their goal. Yes, it's good, but when you get there, remember the things that, that will make you a whole person, a person that has everything, success and also the very intrinsic values.
Mm. I'd just like to add on just a little what my boss has just said. I think passion is a very important key here in all businesses. Whatever we do, we must have the full passion. I think we will get there.
All right. Thank you so much, Adrian. Thank you so much, Olivia, for joining us. And all the best to Mega Fortress. I hope to see the both of you back, plus Datuk Nick, in 3 years' time, as world number one. Yeah.
Yep. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us. Thank you very much.
I've been speaking to Adrian Ng and Olivia Lee from Mega Fortress Group. Now, for more information on their products and services, go check out their website, megafortress.com. That's Fortress spelled F-O-R-T-R-I-S. And if you miss any part of this show, you know where to find our podcast. Visit bfm.my or catch up on our shows using our app, which you can find on the App Store and on Google Play. Okay, that is a wrap for me. Next up is Her Vantage with Frida Liu, happening right after the 11 a.m. news. My name is Audrey Raj. Thank you for listening. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.